to be here today and just worship with me as I sing, "There is nothing better than Jesus." Amen.
Oh, I searched the world, but it couldn't fill me. A man's empty praise and treasures that fade are never enough. Oh, then you came along and put me back together. Oh, there's nothing better than you. Oh, there's nothing better than you, Lord. There's nothing, nothing is better than you. Oh, thank you, Lord. Oh, I'm not afraid to show you my weakness. My failures and flaws, Lord, you've seen them all, and you still call me friend. 'Cause the God of the mountain is the God of the valley, and there's not one place your mercy and grace won't find me again.
Let's all stand for the reading of the word of the Lord. Let's go to Isaiah chapter 4, starting with verse number 4. We'll read 4, 5, and 6. Isaiah chapter 4, verses 4, 5, and 6. So I want to talk to y'all about where there's smoke, there's fire. And you can see up on that slide, you can see that on one side there's smoke. That was at Lake Tahoe. And the other side is when the fire came over. People saw the smoke, but then the fire approached quickly. So notice what it says. When the Lord shall have washed away the filth of the daughters of Zion. So the Lord's washing away the filth of the daughters of Zion. And shall have purged the blood of Jerusalem from the midst thereof by the spirit of judgment and by the spirit of burning. And the Lord will create upon every dwelling place of Mount Zion and upon her assemblies a cloud and a smoke by day and the shining of a flaming fire by night. For upon all the glory shall be a defense, and there shall be a tabernacle for the shadow of the daytime from the heat, and for a place of refuge, and for a covert from storm and from rain. Amen? You may be seated. I want to talk to y'all about where there's smoke, there's fire. And you see that he's talking to the children of Israel. He's talking to the daughters of Zion. He's telling them that God is going to come and he's going to wash away. He's going to purge the blood of Jerusalem from the midst thereof, of the midst of this, their altars. Jesus Christ is the new covenant. Jesus Christ is the one that's coming. Amen. And his blood is going to supersede every other blood. There's nothing like the blood of Jesus. Amen. There's something about the blood of Jesus that's still washing today, and he wants to wash us and purge us from the things that have attached themselves to us. If you've ever got to the place in your life where you feel like you're struggling, you need to stop and be washed by the precious blood of the Lamb all over again. You need to get a fresh revelation of what he did for you. Every time I really stop and think about what he done for me, I weigh it out, and there's no comparison. The world can't even compete with what God did for me. What the world tried to do in 23 years to kill me, God did in just a few moments when I was broken by that revelation and I was able to repent. And I've never turned back because I know who I worship, Lord. I know in whom I believe. So in these scriptures, the picture is so awesome. It's so beautiful. God is restoring his people. That's what he's talking about. He says, I'm going to wash away your sins. I'm going to cleanse you from your sins, and I'm going to set up a shelter over you. And he said, over all the glory, there will be a canopy. In other words, his glory is going to protect us. We're living in a day where we better have the glory of God protecting us. Amen. It's not time to play church. It's not time to be lukewarm. It's time to get in this with all of our heart so that God can purge us from the sin that tries to attach itself to us. And his covering, his glory is going to protect us. His presence will always be there. Amen. And so Matthew 12, 20 through 21 says,
A bruised reed shall he not break, a smoking flax shall he not quench.
Now notice, a bruised reed shall he not break, and a smoking flax he shall not quench.
Till he send forth judgment unto victory.
He's going to send forth judgment unto victory.
And in his name shall the Gentiles
trust. And in his name shall the Gentiles trust. I like that scripture because in Matthew 12, Jesus heals a man with a shriveled hand and later heals all the ones that were ill among the multitude that followed him. Those whom he healed were the bruised reed. Before you came to God, you were a bruised reed, amen? And he was not going to break you. When he saw you as a bruised reed, he loved you, and he wanted to do something in your life. When you came in bruised, he was able to heal you and not break you, amen? He was able to heal you and bring you to a place where you could see who he is. He revealed himself to you. So to whom he healed were the bruised reed and the smoking flax. That's what it's talking about there in verse 20. The prophecy was that Jesus would not extinguish the struggling flame of those who needed him. When people came to him in the Bible day, sometimes we just need to go back and talk about Jesus, amen, and really study Jesus, what he did, because we can get so caught up in preaching and trying to impress people, but when you get down to Jesus, notice what happened. Everybody that came to him that was struggling, he didn't break them, and he didn't quench their desire to know more about him. Man, when they came to him, they came because they needed something. And there's people just like that. In his grace and mercy, he would not snuff out the dying embers of faith. that he encountered. Rather, he was intent on fanning those flames to bring brightly for the fire brightly for him. He wanted them to burn brightly, amen. When somebody came and they had a disease or they had an issue or a situation, a woman with the issue of blood, she had an issue. And no doubt some of y'all came in here today with an issue, amen. You got an issue that you're struggling with. You got an issue that you're trying to get past. Well, that's what happened with that woman. Jesus didn't turn her away. She came with the issue. She was a bruised reed. She was a smoking flax. And when everybody was bumping into him, what did she do? She touched him. And when she touched him, he turned around and said, somebody touched me. I felt virtue go out of me. You hear what I'm talking about? He didn't tell her, go away. He didn't say, no, that's not for you. No, he said, I'm going to touch her. She was healed at that moment. Amen. And that's what it's talking about there. What the Bible's talking about, smoking flax, it's like a wick on the old lamps that were in the temple, and they were about to go out. They would flicker, and smoke could start to come out, and they were supposed to make sure that it was full of oil every day. That was the priest's job, to go in there. And, you know, sometimes they probably said, well, it's burning bright enough, and they didn't go in there and check it, or he wouldn't have put that in there for us to know that it was supposed to be done. And, of course, you know the nature of man, and he said, well, you know, it's burning bright, so they let it go a day, and they walked back in. Well, it's still burning bright, so I probably don't have to feel it. And see, that's what happens to us. And that's what happens to us. And that's why it said that we're like a smoking flax. In other words, we were full of the oil of the Holy Ghost. We were full of that fire of God. But things have come upon us, and now the wick is getting a little weak, and it's starting to smolder a little bit, and the flame's going out. But there's still an ember there. And that's what Jesus was saying right here. He said, as long as I see smoke, I know where there's smoke, there's fire, amen. Maybe you felt like, man, you're just in the middle of a smoke storm, man. Have you ever been around the fire and it seems like the smoke follows you wherever you see it and it burns your eyes and you can't hardly see? You might feel like that today, that this world has put up a smoke screen on you, but God isn't worried because he knows where there's smoke, there's fire. Where he once filled you with the Holy Ghost, he wants to give that to you all over again. He wants to reignite your life right now. He wants you to get excited about him all over again. And amen. Somebody say praise the Lord. In his grace and mercy, he didn't come to snuff you out, man. He takes those dying embers and he begins to fan it, and all of a sudden fire is produced all over again. See, there are many people in a similar state that he's talking about there. They've been wounded emotionally. We see people wounded spiritually or physically. They've been wounded by ministry, and so they just decide to check out and bow out, amen. And people have been abused emotionally, and so they don't feel like they have confidence in anybody anymore. That's where the devil wants you. He wants to separate you from the presence of God. He knows that if he can isolate you, that you're going to lose out, that your flame is going to go out. I don't really have a flame. Hey, I see smoke in here today, Lord. I see smoke in people's lives. Maybe you're not on fire yet, but let me tell you, with this sermon, I'm trying to stroke you. I'm trying to fan your smoldering away. I'm trying to get you to understand that there's a fire inside of you still. You got to tap into that fire. Let the word of God fan the flames of your heart all over again. Somebody say praise the Lord. The prophecy that when it says that your wick has become so weak and you lose hope, but that's when God steps in. That's when God steps in. He realizes that there's just a little smoke coming out of your life, but he says, I see the ember. I see it still burning, amen. So the prophecy that speaks of Jesus' compassionate care for the frail, the demoralized, and the exploited. Notice, the sinful woman who anointed Jesus' feet in Luke 7 was a smoking flax. And Jesus defended her present and forgave her sins. She came, she was a smoking flax. She didn't have the fire of the knowledge of who God was. But when she came to him, he saw that she was a smoking flax. And he began to fan her life. And all of a sudden, she had faith in who he was. And God ministered to her, amen. And he acknowledged her present, that it's okay, y'all leave her alone. She's doing something because there's an ember in her that wants to know more about me. I'm here to tell you that if you want to know more about God, I'm trying to fan that right now. I'm trying to get you to understand. I'm trying to get that smoke out of the way so that ember in your heart begins to reignite all over again. Somebody say praise the Lord. The widow of Nain was a smoking flax as she walked in the funeral procession for her only son. But Jesus restored her son's life and turned her grief into joy. He saw that when she was there, that when she came to Jesus, you know what he did? He began to fan that little ember, that little spark. But there's smoke, smoke's everywhere. She was discouraged, smoke of disappointment, smoke of grief. But Jesus began to fan that flame, and all of a sudden, it was turned to joy. Her son was healed, amen. God answered her prayer. I don't care what you came here with. Maybe you got a dead dream, and you've been holding on to it. But you said, Brother Abraham, it's dead, and by now it stinketh. No, no, don't you kid yourself. God sees that ember. If he ever puts something inside of you, he said, I'm going to keep it burning, amen. And you can fan that flame, and it's going to develop into ignite all over again into a fire, amen. The woman with the demon-possessed boy was a smoking flax. When he cried out, I believe, Lord, help me. I believe, Lord, help me. Help my unbelief, amen. Help my unbelief, Lord. See, that's what preaching does. Preaching is to get you to, we know you believe or you wouldn't be here. We know there's an ember there, but he wants you to help your unbelief. He wants to fan that flame inside of your life, that little ember. He wants to fan that so a fire ignite in your life all over again. The paralyzed man laying hopelessly at the pool of Bethesda. Notice what it says. He was a smoking flax in John 5, and Jesus changed his life forever. He was healed. Amen. That's what I'm talking about today. Over and over in the Gospels, we see Jesus caring for the smoking flax of this world. And when you walk outside this church, man, don't you assume that people don't want God. Don't you assume that people don't want to hear what you have to say. You need to assume that everybody wants to hear this message. Amen. They're nothing but smoking flax. God's not giving up on them, and he don't want the church to give up on them. Your community needs to hear this, because when you speak to them, you're fanning that ember in their heart of faith that's going to ignite, and they're going to want to have what you have. Amen. Somebody say praise the Lord. So where there's smoke, there's fire. That picture that's up there, the Caldor Lake Tahoe fire, it burned for 69 days. 221,835 acres were burned in that fire. 1,003 structures were destroyed, and the evacuation of more than 50,000 residents in that area had to be moved out of that. And you know what they said? They saw the smoke before they saw the fire. You can see what it's doing up there. That's the part of Lake Tahoe when they saw the smoke, but that's the same picture when the fire came. And I'm here to tell you that, friend, you need to learn how when you see smoke, don't worry, there's fire, amen? No matter what's happening, if you feel like you're down and out, no, you keep coming back and let the word of God, let the pastor talk to you and fan that ember that's inside of you, and it's going to develop into a mighty raging fire all over again, amen? Oh, I wish this church would understand that God has you here for one reason, and that's to reach this community, amen? He doesn't want us to turn inward. He wants us to turn outward. He wants us to let them see us on fire for him, amen? The church has been going through a thorough washing these last few years, and we've been scrubbed up and down in the media and the scientific arena, scrubbed up Christianity up and down in the medical field, and finally in the political field. They've tried to put our fire out, amen. They've tried to squash it. They've tried to say there's nothing there but smoke, but where there's smoke, there's fire, amen. And in the scientific arena, men of great knowledge have questioned our belief in the story of creation. I got news for you. You read the first verse, in the beginning, God. Yeah, that's right. Now, if you don't believe that, you might as well go home. Yeah. There's nothing. Now, that ought to be enough for anybody. In the beginning, God. If you can't see that, you might as well just close your Bible and leave, amen? Because in the beginning, God was the one that created. He's the architect. He's the one that designed this whole thing, amen? And so scientists, they've tried to take away that belief in the story of creation. In the arena of medicine, physicians of great learning are trying to mock us and say that they don't believe in healings, even though they see somebody like me that had stage 4, and they said, you're going to die, you'll never leave the hospital. And when I get out, the first thing they do is say, well, we want to continue on with chemo. Yeah, right. It's kind of like when Lazarus was killed and God raised him, what'd they do? hey, we got to kill him. What good's it going to do? God done raised him up once. You see, that's how the world thinks. That's what they think about this. They don't understand God. And so we got to have that ember that's in our heart be fanned again, to ignite a fire inside of us so that we tell people out there what Jesus can do. It's exciting living for God. Amen? And there's nothing my God can't do. Man, this world system is driving, it seems to be driving the church into a corner saying, produce your credentials. See, there's so many religions out there saying, produce your credentials. They have a right to see who we are, amen? And they need to see a church that's on fire. Not a church that just goes through the motions. Not a church that just claps their hands. Not a church that just comes leaving, amen? They need to see somebody on fire for God. So are you alive as you claim to be? Or are you just going through the motions? Are you dead and smoldering? Come on, church. Are we a dead and smoldering church? Is there some smoke in here? That's okay. Where there's smoke, there's fire. Amen. Some of you need to have that ignition. It needs to be ignited all over again. And don't hold back, friend. When altar call comes, altar call is a part of the service too. Amen. And that's when we get back up there and let God ignite us with the fire of the Holy Ghost. Let God ignite us with that faith and that hope of who he is. And you believe that God can do anything. I believe God can save everybody outside of this church building, amen. I believe God can change every one of their situations. He still delivers. He still heals. He still changes, amen. But they got to know who he is. And I don't want to link them to a church. I want to link them to Jesus, amen. Revelations chapter 3, verses 1 through 3, it says...
And unto the angel of the church in Sardis write, I know thy works, that thou hast a name, that thou livest and are dead.
Yeah, we're going to stop it, bro. He said, listen, I know who you are. I know your works, that thou hast a name, that you're alive, but you're dead. He said, Sardis, I see smoke. I don't see fire. I see smoke. But he didn't cast them out. He said, oh, no. What's going to happen is I'm going to begin to fan that ember, that through that smoke. You might just see smoke now, Sarge, but what I'm going to fix and do is I'm fixing to change that situation in this church. I'm going to blow on that ember, and it's going to produce a night of fire, amen. And you will be alive. Maybe you feel like you're dead. You're not dead. There's just some smoke there, but where there's smoke, there's fire, amen. You need to get on fire for God. You know why? God wants to use you out there to reach this community. And you don't have to be embarrassed. You don't have to put your head bowed down. You go out there and look him in the eye. This belongs to Jesus, amen. God created this world. The devil's tried to take it over, but I got news for you. As long as there's a church here, we have the authority. He doesn't have the authority. 1 Timothy 5:6 says, she that liveth in pleasure is dead while she liveth. When a church loses its influence, now listen to me. When a church loses its influence on the world, several factors come into play. So when the church loses its influence, there's factors that come into play. Number one, there's a doctrinal shift. That's how you know when the church has lost its influence in the world. There's a doctrinal shift. Things that used to be important aren't important anymore. Things that were conservative are now progressive. Things that we stood up for and we preached one God. You very seldom hear about one God anymore because there's a doctrinal shift. They have moved to the experience of God instead of the relationship of God. And that's why so many people, they come and they feel the presence of God and they see a little smoke coming, but nobody's there to tell them what that flame is, what that fire can be, amen. You got to tell them who Jesus is. So the doctrinal shift is if a church deviates from the core beliefs or fails to effectively communicate this its message, it will lose relevance and influence. I'm telling you what, this church needs to be relevant in this city. This church needs to have a fire that is burning, amen. We need to influence. That word influence, it comes influenza. Influenza is a disease that means to flow out of into, amen. And that's what influence is. It flows out of you into somebody else. And if you just got smoke, it's just going to irritate them, amen. But when you got the fire, they can see clearly, and God can purge them right there, and they can see their sin and they say, you know what? I need God more than I need anything else. I'm tired of living in sin. I'm tired of living this way. I'm tired of waking up with a bad headache or whatever else the world throws at you. Amen. I remember what it was like to hug a toilet. I remember what it was like to put my head in a toilet, a place that your head should never be, but the devil will put your head in there when you live in this world. Amen. But he wants you to have, don't have that doctrinal change. And the next thing factor that you're going to lose is a lack of engagement. If the church becomes inward focused and neglects outreach and community engagement, it'll lose its impact on the world. See, the Nicene Council in 325 AD came from a doctrinal shift. Yeah, people put so much stock in that council. But it all came from a doctrinal shift. It all came because the church quit being the church. We've been in it so long, we allow things to slip. And it began to smolder. And these people that got into this Nicene Council, they just snuffed out the flame. There was no hope for them. But God said, I still have a church, and there might just be some smoke, but he said, let's make sure that you let me fan that church. Let me get that church ready for a red hot revival. Let me fan that and get that spark to burn again. Amen. I'll prove it to you. The Nicene Council 3:3 came from a doctrinal shift, and an ecumenical movement developed that would divide Christianity forever. Isn't it something that the ecumenical movement was supposed to bring all these people together, and it has divided them? They hate each other. They said, we're going to believe in the Trinity. Well, you can believe in the Trinity, but I got news for you. It's not real. And if you have a belief in something that's not real, you're believing a lie. Amen? And that's what happened. They all got together in the ecumenical movement, and oh, we're going to be the answer. We believe that there's three gods, and boy, they got all excited about it, but now they all hate each other. I talked to a Baptist man, and he was telling me that you apostolics, y'all of the devil, and I said, I'm of the devil? Man, I used to smoke, drink, cuss. I don't do it anymore. And I said, you know what I found out about the Baptist church? I hope I don't offend anybody, but it's the truth. I told him, I said, you know what I found out about the Baptist church? Because it's an ecumenical movement, right? But they don't believe the other people are going to heaven. They believe only they're going to heaven. But they said, I said, how do I get in the Baptist church? You got to be baptized. I said, do I have to get baptized to get to heaven? No. So it's harder to get in the Baptist church than it is to get in heaven. And he didn't know what to say. But see, that spewed out of the ecumenical movement. They all got something different. We talk about, oh, they brought something back. No, they were leaking vessels. What knowledge they did get, guess what? It began to flow out. It began to leave them, amen. They didn't get to hold on to that truth any longer. Somebody say praise the Lord. So I'll prove it to you. 1 Peter 12 and 13. Notice what it says.
1 Peter 1, 12 through 13, wherefore I will not be negligent.
See, Peter said, I'm not going to be negligent. If you read the first part of that chapter, it gives you a whole list of things that you better know. And if you build upon that, you shall never fall, the Bible says. Mm-hmm. See, you'll never fall. Yep. That's not Brother Aber saying that. I know people say in the ecumenical movement, you got to sin every day. You're a sinner every day. That's only if you're not walking with God. If you don't add these things, you're going to find yourself in trouble. Amen. Yep. But notice what it says here. He's telling them now that he said, wherefore I am what?
I will not be negligent to put you always in remembrance.
He said, I don't care how many times you hear it. Get excited when you hear it.
Yeah.
He said, I already see some of that smoke coming out of you. And I don't see that fire that you once had. He said, but I got news for you. He said, I'm not going to be negligent to put you always in remembrance of these things. In other words, I'm going to fan that smoke, that little ember. I'm going to fan it until you catch on fire again. That's what he's saying there. He's telling you that where there's smoke, there's fire. And he said, I'm not going to be negligent. Church, we cannot be negligent in our walk with God and our belief in who Jesus Christ is. You better know he's God Almighty, amen, amen. That he's come to save this world and to seek and save it. And so he says, I'm not going to be negligent. Put you in remembrance. Now, notice what he says.
Though ye know them.
Though ye know them. See, us humans, we're so, man, we're so, I hate to say ignorant, but we're ignorant. Peter has to tell him, he says, I'm not going to be negligent to put these things in your remembrance. He said, though you know them, but I know human nature. I know you're going to let it slip away. I know you're going to get entangled with the affairs of this life. I know that you're getting a place where it smoke is in your eyes and you can't see and your eyes are burning and watering and you start smelling like that fire and everything and you go, man, I just can't see my way out of this. I can't see the way I'm going to get out of this. But that's what he's telling you, though. He said, I will not be negligent not to bring this to your remembrance. Yeah. He said, though you know them, notice what he says.
And be established in the present truth.
And be established in this present truth. That 325 AD was not a present truth. It was a lie built by men to move God completely out of the picture so that men could control a denomination. And it wasn't the church, amen? Oh, you'll see what I'm talking about. Go ahead.
Yea, I think it meet, as long as I am in this tabernacle.
He said, I tell you what, I think I better pay attention to, because I think it meet that as long as I'm in this tabernacle, as long as I'm in this body.
Yep. To stir you up by putting you in remembrance.
Now, if you don't think that important, that it's that important, how come twice he said, I'm going to stir you up, put you in remembrance. I'm going to take you back. And you know what? When a preacher gets up and preaches about one God, you ought to shout, amen. You ought to clap your hands. Why? I don't want to forget who he is, amen. I don't want to get caught up in a religion that pushes him out and wants to push an experience before a relationship with God. Somebody say praise the Lord. So because of the doctrinal shift, hundreds of different forms of Christianity that have bickered and fought over which one's right is what we see in the world today. People say, well, which church is true? Well, there's only one true church. It's not that hard. But you could, you know what? We all believe the same thing. No, we don't. You know, Jehovah's Witness, they caught on now, but they used to didn't know what an apostolic church was. And boy, they'd corner me and they'd say, well, you believe in the Trinity? I said, shame on you. Let me tell you who Jesus is. Amen. And they had never heard anything like that. And so, man, I just ministered to them right there, man. They'd try to leave and I'd kind of walk with them. They want to go to the next door, I'm going with them. Amen. Answer me. Who's Jesus? They have no clue. It's some man-made doctrine. Somebody say, praise the Lord. Let me get going. I'm going to get in trouble here. There's only one church, and that one church is what Jesus said. He said, upon this rock I'll build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. That's the only church. It's built on that revelation of who Jesus Christ is. And when you got that revelation, there's nothing you can't do, amen? You can be on fire and you won't let the smokes go up going to bother you. Because if you got some smoke coming up because something's happened in your life, just go and let the mighty rushing wind blow that away. It'll blow it away from you, amen? And if you see smoke in your life, don't get upset. Shout a little bit. Why? Because where there's smoke, there's fire, amen. I'm here to tell you that every one of you got a fire inside of you right now. Young man, God wants to put a fire inside of you that'll take care of everything that you face in life. Have you ever done something you wish you hadn't have done? I have many a time. But when I walked into that Pentecostal church and I felt the fire of the Holy Ghost, it burned that out of me, amen. I've been in this for 44 years and I wouldn't trade it for anything. You know why? Because when there is smoke, I don't get down and out. I know there's fire, amen. God's telling me, come on, get on fire. The reason that hell cannot prevail against this true church is because the true church is founded on the revelation of who Jesus Christ is. That's why today We see the smoke rising from the ashes of our intense scrutiny, that the people are scrutinizing us. We see the smoke rising. They wonder where the influence of the church is. They wonder, is the church age over? Is it finished? Because they have no power. All they can do is be a social outlet for people to come and meet each other. And there's no urgency to get right with God. And there's no urgency to hear a message about how God will lead you to repentance. There's no Isaiah coming into the church today that it's woe is you, woe is you, woe is you, woe is you for five chapters. But in the sixth chapter, he saw the Lord high and lift up. He was broken by a revelation. He said, woe is me. See, that's what this church needs. If there's smoke in your life, you need to quit saying woe is everybody else and get to an altar and say, woe is me. Let that fire burn, Lord. Get that ember inside of me and let it ignite again, all over again, so I can be on fire, because I want to change somebody's life. Amen. So, church, do we have the proof to back up the widespread doctrinal claims that our church simply is, or are we all washed up? See, all the churches are getting washed up. They built their house on a sand. They had the right material, the Bible, but they didn't have a foundation. They built the house faster than the one that the Bible said dug deep. And it had a foundation. And what did they do? Boy, they built that house, and while they were over there on the beach, man, they were sitting back with their little piña colada and kicked back with their Margaritaville flip-flops. And they were watching that poor guy over there dig deep, building his house, and they thought, man, I got the same lumber they got. I built it with the same material they built. Look how fast I am. And then all of a sudden the storm comes. And when the storm comes, it didn't touch the house that was built on a foundation. But the house that was built on sand, now sand is a partial piece of a rock. These churches have a partial piece of truth, but they don't have the truth. That's what gets them in trouble. And the Bible said that great was the fall of it. Why did it say great was the fall of it? Because all these people that are in false religions, they have a false security that they're okay. But when the storm comes, great is the fall of it. They're going to find out what they have was nothing. There was no foundation, amen. But I'm here to tell you that if you see smoke, there's fire, amen. And we got to understand, if you're going through something and you say, oh, you know what, I don't have a fire burning right now. Believe me, if there's smoke, there's fire, amen. Somebody say, praise the Lord. Let me hurry up. So the church needs a deep blast of the Holy Ghost, amen. That'll melt away our carelessness, our unconcern, our compromise, and our crumbling foundation. Man, we need to have the fire of the Holy Ghost come. We need a blast of the Holy Ghost to melt away our carelessness. We need to quit being careless in the day that we're living in. We need to understand the steps that we take are important, because God wants to lead us to souls that are ready right now. Don't be careless in the way that you meet people. Don't be careless. You need to stop and look people in the eye and talk to them so you can see where they're at. You can look into their soul, amen? And when you start talking to them, you don't beat them up with the Bible. Man, I tell people now, I walk here because I'm in infield. I'll walk there and say, man, I love your city. You think they're not going to talk to me? You think they're going, man, I love your city. Everybody's so nice. You think they're going to say, I don't want to talk to you. Man, they melt. Why? Because the fire's burning. And when you're on fire, it removes that smoke that has them blinded to what God can do in their life. God begins to move away that smoke, and you can see a little ember of hope in their life. And you can let them know that there's a God that can deliver them. There's a God that can change their situation, amen. See, the church is not buildings, formalities, beliefs, or programs. The church is people, the everyday down-to-earth people who are the called-out ones. Man, do you know out of over 7 billion people, God picked you, he handpicked you, amen? Out of 7 billion people, God chose you to be right here in this service today. Man, that's pretty special if you ask me, amen. I'm special. Somebody said, well, you know, you were adopted. You better believe I was. There's a lot of kids that parents have them and they don't want them, amen. But when somebody adopts a child, they want that child. And Jesus adopted me, amen. And when he adopted me, that means he wants me. I'm special. I said, I'm special. Y'all need to start treating yourself like you're special. Yeah. Man, somebody say praise the Lord. Sitting in this unstable position of uncertainty, the world is waiting for the church to stand up and give its testimony. See, that's what the church is waiting for. It's waiting for somebody to give that testimony on fire for God that's going to remove that smoke, that's going to move that smoke that's burning their eyes, that's keeping them from able to see truth. Amen. Yeah. And they're just been in a smoldering fire, smoke all around them. They can't see. And so it's important that we understand that the church that God has called out has to give its testimony, a church that God has anointed, the church that God has appointed to bring revelation to a hurting world. God has called me. The Bible tells us to wit God was in Christ, right? Reconciling the world into himself. But we always stop there. But he says he's given us that same word of reconciliation. He said, it's not for you just to sit there in the smoke of your little pitiful life that you can't ever get happy. He said, you need to let the church, you need to let the ministry, you need to let the word of God fan that ember that's in your heart that once burned bright and let it catch fire, let it ignite again. You know why? Because we have to reconcile this world unto him. Amen. He's given us that same word of reconciliation. When he walked up to the woman that was at the well, he gives you that same word of reconciliation. The one that got healed, he gives you that same word of reconciliation. He wants you to understand who you are. Man, you're a child of God. I said, you're a child of God. Start acting like you're a child of God, amen. Stand up and let the world know, I know who Jesus is. Hell can't handle this church. Hell can't handle a praying church. It can't handle a worshiping church. It can't handle a witnessing church. It can't handle an apostolic church. Amen. That's why when you talk about the oneness of God, the devil has to flee, because the Bible says the devil believes in what? One God, and he what?
Trembles.
I'm here to tell you that when you get on fire for God and you have that revelation of who he is, disease is going to tremble. When I was in isolation for 9 days, and man, I got a hold of that fresh revelation, he broke me all over again. That disease had to tremble. The chains were broken, amen. God healed me completely. It's been since 2010, and I go to get my lab work every 6 months, and I ain't got a sign of cancer in me, amen. I'm here to tell you that when you get a hold of this revelation, it will set you free. It'll give you that boldness to let people know you don't have to live that way. Your marriages can make it. God doesn't want your marriage to fall apart. Woo. It's not time to quit. It's not time to let somebody else do it. It's time for us to go to work for the Lord. It's time to continue in the things that has made us who we are. How many of y'all got a job working? It's hard, whether it's mentally or physically. It's hard. Work's hard. I'm going to tell you something. Working for God's going to be hard too. And that's why you can't entangle yourself with the affairs of this life, because he needs somebody that can do some hard praying in the hour that we're living in. Because when you develop hard praying, it begins to remove that smoldering smoke out of people's faces to where they can see that light shining in you, that you can see that God's fixing to purge them of their sins. God's fixing to wash them and cleanse them from their sins. Man, it's not time to have obedient faith. It's time to be obedient to God's word. It's going to be hard work witnessing and loving people, but you got to do it, man. Just love people. Man, you don't have to go beat them up. You don't have to carry man, I remember when I first got in church, I had a Bible big enough to choke a mule. Dude, there wasn't anybody safe. I'd corner them. Y'all laugh. I would. I'd corner them. Man, you see them in the hall of the hospital, I'd corner them. I'd let them know who Jesus is, amen. But that's not what witnessing is. That's how it's letting your light shine. It's being so excited about what God's doing that it radiates out of you. You got influence. It flows out of you into somebody else. We're known for two things: by the books we read and the people we meet. And I'm here to tell you that we're not here because of somebody we met. We're here because of a book we read called the Bible. And he said, I'm not going to be negligent. I'm going to call you to remembrance. I want you to understand that God has something for you, and it's a burning fire, and you can let that fire burn. Amen. Musicians, come get ready. Amen. Where there's smoke, there's fire. Amen. Where there's smoke, there's fire. The fire of God's Spirit will move in every area of the church. It will. It'll move in every area. It's time to let His ways become our ways. His blood will never lose its power. We have to let His ways become our ways, and our ways need to die. We need to quit doing it our way. Pastor and I were talking about Job, and Pastor Reed and I was talking about Job, and we were talking about what it said, amen, about though he slay me, huh? And that's all we learn. That's all we say. Then he goes, listen, but I will maintain my own way. See, that's what it's talking about there. His ways got to be our ways. And you can't say, His ways are my ways, but I'm going to maintain, I'm going to do it my way. That's not His ways. Amen? You got to let go of it and let God show you what He can do. Somebody say, praise the Lord. See, that heavenly fire will compel us to throw all of our carnal weapons at His feet and look for a new vision, just like Isaiah did. Five chapters, woe is you, but in the sixth chapter, he saw the Lord high lift up. He said, woe is me. And then what did he say? Here I am, Lord, send me. See, if we believe that we got that revelation, but do we go further with it? Here I am, Lord, send me. Send me to this community. Send me to the high school. Send me to that job. Send me. Do we have that send me spirit? Woo. Somebody say praise the Lord. 2 Corinthians 10:5 says, casting down imagination and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. Anything that exalts itself from the knowledge of God. When people say that's not important, when they, that we don't have to do that. That's Old Testament. Well, I'm sorry, you'll never know what the New Testament says unless you follow that to who Jesus is. The Lord's spiritual weapon of destruction is being sanctified. It's a burning power of fire inside of your soul. I was telling some young men yesterday that people said, well, Brother Abraham, I don't worship like you. Nobody said you had to. But you better have some fire in your eyes. You better have life in your eyes. You better not walk around like the walking dead. You better have some joy and excitement in your eyes. You don't have to shout like I shout or worship like I worship, but you got to get excited about what you have. You got to let that fire burn that comes out of you and people see there's something different about you. Amen. Somebody say praise the Lord. With that kind of power, the church can storm Satan's strongholds and demolish the opposition. Amen. Elijah knew what it was. He took water and drenched his sacrifice, but God ignited it. He wanted those false prophets. Let me show y'all something. I know y'all cut yourself. I know you hollered and screamed. That's all they do out there in the denominational world. They just go through their little motions and clap their hands, and they come leaving, and they got coffee cup holders or their chairs, and they just go through the motions. Amen? But see, what we're talking about is something that's entirely different. God's moving and God's touching people's lives, and we have to allow Him to break us open so that that fire is going to burn. If there's anything that'll bring an igniting of fire into the churches, it's the rebuilding of the altars. We got to rebuild the altars. Elijah, he rebuilt the altar. And he didn't use their altar. He rebuilt the altar of the Lord. And man, they poured water over it and they thought he was nuts. See, when you're on fire for God, His fire consumes everything. When somebody tries to water down your faith, when somebody tries to water down what you believe, when family becomes opposition to you, that water and down stuff don't work because the fire of God's going to lick it all up, amen? And when you don't react to what they're saying, you respond with love because God is love. They're going to see there's something different about you. After I got the Holy Ghost, my mom said, did you have to change that much? Oh, no, Mom, I guess I could smoke a little dope. I guess I can get drunk a little bit. She got so mad because she was raised in a denominational church, and she's like, I don't think you have to change. And I said, Mom, I ain't got time to argue with you. I said, I love you, and I'd kiss her on the cheek, and I'd leave. Next time I saw her, I'd go to the house, and she'd start on me again. Had that old bucket of water trying to douse out that fire. She said, man, you still in that Pentecostal church? Well, not really. It's in me. And I just kissed her on the cheek, said, I love you, Mom. And after 2 years, she shows up at the church. And she pushes her way out of the crowd, and she runs to an altar. She was broken by that revelation of who Jesus Christ was. I shared it with her every time I went by who Jesus was. She watched me for 2 years, but you know what? She was never able to put out my fire. If I'd have walked in there and I had this old smoldering attitude, poor, poor, pitiful me, nobody likes me, nobody loves me, I'm going to go out and eat worms. That was a song. Some of y'all know who B.J. Thomas is. Amen. Sad song. He's going to sing a sad song. Always wants to sing a sad song. Amen. See, that's not what God wants. He wants you to be on fire. He wants that fire burning. Somebody say amen. So how can we be sure that the church will continue to rise? Look for the smoke. When you come to church, you look for the smoke. If you see somebody that's having a hard time, look at that smoke and get over there by them and begin to worship with them, and you'll begin to fan that ember that's in their heart, and it's going to reignite them. Yeah. Man, if you want to know that there's still fire in the church, you can see it in the pastor, amen? Look at the pastor, because he's going to be over there. It's going to be fire coming out of him because he knows what has to be done in this community, amen? Can you see the church leadership? You're going to see fire, amen? When there's smoke, there's fire. And when you walk in here and you say, oh, you know what, I don't feel there. Don't you dare say that, because what's going to happen, somebody's going to come over there and worship by you and fan that ember, and all of a sudden you're going to get acting silly. I want a Baptist boy to the Lord. He said, I'll come to church, but he said, I'll never jump up and down. I'm a Baptist. I was born Baptist. I'll die Baptist. He came to church, and I put him on the front row. Well, I didn't want him to see all the dead people behind. You know, if he'd see all these people, he'd just see smoke. I want him up there where the fire was, amen. He didn't weigh probably 110 pounds. And man, he got up there, and he was dead set on not, I ain't going to bow. When the altar call was given, he run up to the front of the church. And I got to admit, he didn't lie. He did not jump up and down one time, but he rolled from one side of that church to the other. And he rolled for a long time, amen. I said, well, Philip, I said, you're true to your word, because you sure didn't shout, but you sure rolled. That's what I'm talking about when the fire comes, amen. He came there with a little smoke. He had a little faith that he got from his religion. There's nothing wrong with that. Don't condemn them. Don't look down on them. But let you know that that's just smoke. But oh, when they get into the presence of the Holy Ghost in a church like this, and you begin to fan that smoke, all of a sudden that amber catches and it ignites, and they got to worship God. They know that Jesus Christ is real. Somebody say praise the Lord. See, man, when the church, when it begins to ignite, the church will leave its fingerprints on the doorknobs of the brokenhearted, man. You're going to start touching people's lives. And out of the smoke will arise flames of inspiration for the hopeless. People that are hopeless are going to say, man, there's something different about that church. I never saw anything like that. And there's going to be, out of smoke's going to arise the flames of care for the poor and needy. All of a sudden, you start taking care of the elderly. You start letting them know how much you love them and respect them. I like what Brother Stephen does, is gets people with testimonies to go and talk to the young people. My Lord, what a revelation. revelation that is, amen. They need to know where we come from. They don't just need to know that we're in church and we lift our hands, but they need to hear what God did for us, amen, because God's going to do the same thing for these young people. And when they have problems that face us in the youth, I never faced the problems they face. You understand what I'm saying? There wasn't all this junk going on when I was young, but I got news for you. I don't care how bad it gets, there's a fire burning. There's a fire burning. And let it burn. Let it just catch on fire and ignite you. Out of the smoke will arise the flames of challenge for the sinner. Sinners are going to say, man, I don't want to live like this anymore. I'm tired of being on drugs. I'm tired of living in immorality. I'm tired of these things. So you send out the warning to the infield and to the world. The smoke's rising, and where there's smoke, there's fire. Let's all stand. I want you to know that tonight or today, where there's smoke, there's fire. Did you come in here and there was like a smoke that's burning in your life that's just smoldering? Has your relationship with God just began to smolder a little bit? And you know there's still something there, but you just don't see it because the smoke is burning your eyes. It's blinding you. But you know, when I was in Boy Scouts, you know what we did when we woke up in the morning and it was cold? We saw a fire, and in that fire, there was a little smoldering out of the ashes. And you know what you'd do? You'd go over there with a stick and you'd poke it. And when you poked it, all of a sudden those embers would turn up and the fire would catch back on. Amen. That's what I did here today. I'm here to let you know that if you're in smoke, I come to poke you a little bit. I come to let you know, man, I'm telling you, there's fire there. Don't you dare quit. Don't you dare give up. You need to accept what God's trying to do in your life. Let the fire of the Holy Ghost burn. Amen. Brother Tom, I've been poking you. You know why? I want the fire of the Holy Ghost in you. Amen. We're here to worship God with all our heart. And you know what's going to happen? When we do, my, when you get poked in the service with the Word of God, it's going to create that fire. That fire is going to catch back on. And that's what's happening here today. Let's lift our hands and worship God. And as they begin to sing, let's come down to this altar and let's lift our hands. Come on, begin to worship. Knock away the smoke and let that amber catch fire again. Wipe away all the things that bother you and hinder you. Wipe away the things that are causing you difficulties. All the things that blind you to this world. Come on, come on. I've been poking you. I got embers in here. There's embers in here. Let them catch fire. Let them catch fire.